That was all I wanted, he said. What was promised? When the sun of her life reached her, Danny slid an arm around his waist. The cow said a word, and his blood riders leapt forward. Kotho seized the man, who had been her brother, by the arms. Hago shattered his wrist with a single sharp twist of his huge hands. Kahalo pulled the sword from his limp fingers. Even now, Viserys did not understand. No! He shouted, you cannot touch me! I am the dragon, and I will be crowned! Khal Drogo unfastened his belt. The medallions were pure gold, massive and ornate, each one as large as a man's hand. He shouted a command. Cook slaves pulled a heavy iron stew pot from the fire pit, dumped the stew onto the ground, and returned the pot to the flames. Drogo tossed in the belt and watched without expression as the medallions turned red and began to lose their shape. She could see fires dancing in the onyx of his eyes. A slave handed him a pair of thick horsehair mittens, and he pulled them on, never so much as looking at the man. Viserys began to scream, the high, wordless scream of the coward facing death. He kicked and twisted, whimpered like a dog, and wept like a child, but the Dothraki held him tight between them. Ser Jorah had made his way to Danny's side. He put a hand on her shoulder.
Turn away, my princess, I beg you.
No. She folded her arms across the swell of her belly protectively. At the last, Viserys looked at her. Sister, please, Danny, tell them, make them, sweet sister. When the gold was half melted and starting to run, Drogo reached into the flames, snatched out the pot.
Crown, he roared, here, a crown for Khal King,
and upended the pot over the head of the man who had been her brother. The sound Viserys Targaryen made when that hideous iron helmet covered his face was like nothing human. His feet hammered a frantic beat against the dirt floor, slowed, stopped. Thick globs of molten gold dripped down onto his chest, setting the scarlet silk to smouldering. Yet no drop of blood was spilled. He was no dragon, Danny thought, curiously calm. Fire cannot kill a dragon. Eddard. He was walking through the crypts beneath Winterfell, as he had walked a thousand times before. The kings of Winter watched him pass with eyes of ice, and the dire wolves at their feet turned their great stone heads and snarled. Last of all he came to the tomb, where his father slept, with Brandon and Lyanna beside him. "Promise me, Ned," Lyanna's statue whispered. She wore a garland of pale blue roses, and her eyes wept blood. Eddard Stark jerked upright, his heart racing, the blankets tangled around him. The room was black as pitch, and someone was hammering on the door. "Lord Eddard," a voice called loudly. "A moment." Groggy and naked, he stumbled his way across the darkened chamber. When he opened the door, he found Tomard with an upraised fist and Cain with a taper in hand. Between them stood the king's own steward. The man's face might have been carved of stone, so little did it show. "My lord Hand," he intoned, "His Grace the King commands your presence at once." Sir Robert had returned from his hunt. It was long past time. "I shall need a few moments to dress." Ned left the man waiting without. Cairn helped him with his clothes. White linen tunic and grey cloak, trousers slid open down his plaster-sheathed leg, his badge of office, and last of all, a belt of heavy silver links. He sheathed the Valyrian dagger at his waist. The Red Keep was dark and still, as Cain and Tomard escorted him across the inner bailey. The moon hung low over the walls, ripening toward full. On the ramparts, a guardsman in a gold cloak walked his rounds. The royal apartments were in Magor's Holdfast, a massive, square fortress that nestled in the heart of the Red Keep, behind walls 12 foot thick and a dry moat lined with iron spikes, a castle within a castle. Sir Boris Blunt guarded the far end of the bridge, white-steeled armour ghostly in the moonlight. Within, Ned passed two other knights of the King's Guard. Sir Preston Greenfield stood at the bottom of the steps, and Sir Barristan Selmy waited at the door of the King's bedchamber. Three men, in white cloaks, he thought, remembering, and a strange chill went through him. Sir Barristan's face was as pale as his armour. Ned had only to look at him to know that something was dreadfully wrong. The royal steward opened the door. "Lord Eddard Stark, the Hand of the King," he announced. "Bring him here," Robert's voice called, strangely thick. Fires blazed in the twin hearths at either end of the bedchamber, filling the room with a sullen red glare. The heat within was suffocating. Robert lay across the canopied bed. At the bedside hovered Grand Maester Pycelle, while Lord Renly paced restlessly before the shuttered windows. Servants moved back and forth, feeding logs to the fire and boiling wine. Cersei Lannister sat on the edge of the bed beside her husband. Her hair was tousled, as if from sleep, but there was nothing sleepy in her eyes. They followed Ned as Tomard and Cain helped him cross the room. He seemed to move very slowly, as if he were still dreaming. The king still wore his boots. Ned could see dried mud and blades of grass clinging to the leather where Robert's feet stuck out beneath the blanket that covered him. A green doublet lay on the floor, slashed open and discarded, the cloth crusted with red-brown stains. The room smelled of smoke and blood and death. "Ned," the king whispered when he saw him. His face was pale as milk. "Come closer." His men brought him close. Ned steadied himself with a hand on the bedpost. He had only to look down at Robert to know how bad it was. "What?" he began, his throat clenched.
"A boar."
Lord Renly was still in his hunting greens, his cloak spattered with blood.
"A devil," the king husked. "My own fault. Too much wine. Damn me to hell. Miss my thrust."
"And where were the rest of you?" Ned demanded of Lord Renly. "Where were Sir Barristan and the King's Guard?" Renly's mouth twitched. "My brother commanded us to stand aside and let him take the boar alone." Eddard Stark lifted the blanket. They had done what they could to close him up, but it was nowhere near enough. The boar must have been a fearsome thing. It had ripped the king from groin to nipple with its tusks. The wine-soaked bandages that Grand Maester Pycelle had applied were already black with blood, and the smell off the wound was hideous. Ned's stomach turned. He let the blanket fall.
"Stinks," Robert said. "The stink of death. Don't think I can't smell it. Bastard did me good, eh? But I paid him back in kind, Ned."
The king's smile was as terrible as his wound, his teeth red.
"Drove a knife right through his eye. Ask them if I didn't. Ask them."
"Truly," Lord Renly murmured, "we brought the carcass back with us, at my brother's command."
"For the feast," Robert whispered. "Now leave us, the lot of you. I need to speak with Ned."
"Robert, my sweet lord," Cersei began.
"I said leave," Robert insisted, with a hint of his old fierceness. "What part of that Don't you understand, woman?
Circe gathered up her skirts and her dignity, and led the way to the door. Lord Renly and the others followed. Grand Maester Pycelle lingered, his hand shaking as he offered the king a cup of thick white liquid.
"The milk of the puppy, your grace," he said. "Drink for your pain."
Robert knocked the cup away with the back of his hand. "Away with you! I'll sleep soon enough. All full, get out!"
Grand Maester Pycelle gave Ned a stricken look as he shuffled from the room.
"Damn you, Robert!"
Ned said when they were alone. His leg was throbbing so badly he was almost blind with pain. Or perhaps it was grief that fogged his eyes. He lowered himself to the bed beside his friend.
"Why do you always have to be so headstrong?"
"Oh, fuck you, Ned," the king said hoarsely. "I killed the bastard, didn't I?"
A lock of matted black hair fell across his eyes as he glared up at Ned.
"Ought to do the same for you. Can't leave a man to hunt in peace. Sir Robar found me. Gregor's head, ugly thought. Never told the hound. Let Circe surprise him."
His laugh turned into a grunt as a spasm of pain hit him.
"God have mercy," he muttered, swallowing his agony. "That girl Daenerys, only a child. You were right. That's why the girl... The guard sent the boar, sent to punish me."
The king coughed, bringing up blood.
"Wrong. I was wrong. I am only a girl. Varys, Littlefinger, even my brother, worthless. No one to tell me no but you, Ned, only you."
He lifted his hand, the gesture pained and feeble.
"Paper and ink, there, on the table. Write what I tell you."
Ned smoothed the paper out across his knee and took up the quill. "At your command, your grace."
"This is the will and word of Robert of House Baratheon, the first of his name, King of the Andals and all the rest. Put in the damned titles, you know how it goes. I do hereby command Eddard of House Stark, Lord of Winterfell, and Hand of the King, to serve as Lord Regent and Protector of the Realm upon my death, to rule in my stead, until my son Geoffrey does come of age."
"Robert, Geoffrey is not your son," he wanted to say, but the words would not come. The agony was written too plainly across Robert's face. He could not hurt him more. So Ned bent his head and wrote, but where the king had said, "my son Geoffrey," he scrawled, "my heir," instead. The deceit made him feel soiled. "The lies we tell for love," he thought. "May the gods forgive me." "What else would you have me say?"
"Say? Whatever you need to protect and defend, gods old and new. You have the words, right. I'll sign it. You give it to the council when I'm dead."
"Robert," Ned said, in a voice thick with grief,
"you must not do this. Don't die on me. The realm needs you."
Robert took his hand, fingers squeezing hard.
"You are such a bad liar, Ned Stark," he said through his pain. The realm knows what a wretched king I've been. Bad as Ares, the gods spare me."
"No," Ned told his dying friend, "not so bad as Ares, your grace. Not near so bad as Ares." Robert managed a weak red smile.
"At the least, they will say, this last thing, this I did right. You won't fear me. You'll rule now. You'll hate it worse than I did, but you'll do well. Are you done with the scribbling?"
"Yes, your grace." Ned offered Robert the paper. The king scrawled his signature blindly, leaving a smear of blood across the letter. The seal should be witnessed.
"Serve the boar at my funeral feast," Robert rasped. "Apple in his mouth. Skin, seared crisp. Eat the bastard. Don't care if you choke on him. Promise me, Ned.
I promise. Promise me, Ned. Lyanna's voice echoed.
The girl,
the king said.
Daenerys, let her live. If you can, if it... not too late. Talk to them. Varys, Littlefinger. Don't let them kill her. And help my son, Ned. Make him be... better than me.
He winced.
Gods, have mercy.
They will, my friend, Ned said. They will. The king closed his eyes and seemed to relax.
Killed by a pig, he muttered. Ought to laugh, but it hurts too much.
Ned was not laughing. Shall I call them back? Robert gave a weak nod.
As you will. God, why is it so cold in here?
The servants rushed back in and hurried to feed the fires. The queen had gone. That was some small relief, at least. If she had any sense, Cersei would take her children and fly before the break of day, Ned thought. She had lingered too long already. King Robert did not seem to miss her. He bid his brother Renly and Grand Maester Pycelle to stand in witness as he pressed his seal into the hot yellow wax that Ned had dripped upon his letter.
Now give me something for the pain, and let me die.
Hurriedly, Grand Maester Pycelle mixed him another draught of the milk of the puppy. This time the king drank deeply. His black beard was beaded with thick white droplets when he threw the empty cup aside.
Will I dream?
Ned gave him his answer.
You will, my lord. Good,
he said, smiling.
I will give Lyanna your love, Ned. Take care. Have my children for me.
The words twisted in Ned's belly like a knife. For a moment, he was at a loss. He could not bring himself to lie. Then he remembered the bastards. Little Barra at her mother's breast, Maya in the Vale, Gendry at his forge, and all the others. I shall guard your children as if they were my own, he said slowly. Robert nodded and closed his eyes. Ned watched his old friend sag softly into the pillows as the milk of the poppy washed the pain from his face. Sleep took him. Heavy chains jangled softly as Grand Maester Pycelle came up to Ned.
I will do all in my power, my lord, but the wound has mortified. It took them 2 days to get him back. By the time I saw him, it was too late. I can lessen his grace's suffering, but only the gods can heal him now.
How long? Ned asked.
By rights, he should be dead already. I have never seen a man cling to life so fiercely.
My brother was always strong, Lord Renly said. Not wise, perhaps, but strong. In the sweltering heat of the bedchamber, his brow was slick with sweat. He might have been Robert's ghost as he stood there, young and dark and handsome. He slew the boar. His entrails were sliding from his belly, yet somehow he slew the boar. His voice was full of wonder. Robert was never a man to leave the battleground, so long as a foe remained standing, Ned told him. Outside the door, Sir Barristan Selmyr still guarded the tower steps. Maester Pycelle has given Robert the milk of the poppy, Ned told him. See that no one disturbs his rest without leave from me.
It shall be as you command, my lord.
Sir Barristan seemed old beyond his years.
I have failed my sacred trust.
Even the truest knight cannot protect a king against himself, Ned said. Robert loved to hunt boar. I have seen him take 1,000 of them. He would stand his ground without flinching, his legs braced, his great spear in his hands, and as often as not he would curse the boar as it charged, and wait until the last possible second, until it was almost on him, before he killed it with a single sure and savage thrust. No one could know this one would be his death.
You are kind to say so, Lord Eddard.
The king himself said as much. He blamed the wine. The white-haired knight gave a weary nod.
His grace was reeling in his saddle by the time we flushed the boar from his lair, yet he commanded us all to stand aside.
I wonder, Sir Barristan, said Varys so quietly, who gave the king this wine?
Ned had not heard the eunuch approach, but when he looked around, there he stood. He wore a black velvet robe that brushed the floor, and his face was freshly powdered.
The wine was from the king's own skin, Sir Barristan said. Only one skin? Hunting is such thirsty work.
I did not keep count more than one, for a certainty. His squire would fetch him a fresh skin whenever he required it.
Such a dutiful boy, said Varys, to make certain his grace did not lack for refreshment.
Ned had a bitter taste in his mouth. He recalled the two fair-haired boys Robert had sent chasing after a breastplate stretcher. The king had told everyone the tale that night of the feast, laughing until he shook.
Which squire?
The elder, said Sir Barristan, Lancel.
I know the lad well, said Varys. A stalwart boy, Sir Kevin Lannister's son, nephew to Lord Tywin, and cousin to the Queen. I hope the dear sweet lad does not blame himself. Children are so vulnerable in the innocence of their youth. How well do I remember?
Certainly Varys had once been young. Ned doubted that he'd ever been innocent.
You mentioned children. Robert had a change of heart concerning Daenerys Targaryen. Whatever arrangements you made, I want unmade, at once.
Alas, said Varys, at once may be too late. I fear those birds have flown. But I shall do what I can, my lord, with your leave.
He bowed and vanished down the steps, his soft-soled slippers whispering against the stone as he made his descent. Cain and Tamar were helping Ned across the bridge when Lord Renly emerged from Magor's holdfast.
Lord Eddard, he called after Ned, a moment, if you'll be so kind.
Ned stopped.
As you wish. Renly walked to his side. Send your men away.
They met in the center of the bridge, the dry moat beneath them. Moonlight silvered the cruel edges of the spikes that lined its bed. Ned gestured. Tamard and Cain bowed their heads and backed away respectfully. Lord Renly glanced warily at Sir Boris at the far end of the span, at Sir Preston in the doorway behind them.
That letter, he leaned close, was it the Regency? Has my brother named you protector?
He did not wait for reply.
My lord, I have 30 men in my personal guard, and other friends besides, knights and lords. Give me an hour, and I can put 100 swords in your hand.
And what should I do with 100 swords, my lord?
Strike! Now, while the castle sleeps.
Renly looked back at Sir Boris again and dropped his voice to an urgent whisper.
We must get Joffrey away from his mother and take him in hand. Protector or no, the man who holds the king holds the kingdom. We should seize Marcella and Tommen as well. Once we have our children, Cersei will not dare oppose us. The council will confirm you as Lord Protector and make Joffrey your ward.
Ned regarded him coldly. Robert is not dead yet. The guards may spare him. If not, I shall convene the council to hear his final words and consider the matter of the succession. But I will not dishonor his last hours on earth by shedding blood in his halls and dragging frightened children from their beds. Lord Renly took a step back, taut as a bowstring.
Every moment you delay gives Cersei another moment to prepare. By the time Robert dies, it may be too late for both of us.
Then we should pray that Robert does not die.
Small chance of that, said Renly.
Sometimes the gods are merciful.